Okay, today we're going to learn Daf Mem Tes Amud Aleph of Maseches Shabbos. We're holding on Daf Mem Tes Amud Aleph at the Mishnah, I believe is where we left off. And this Mishnah is going to continue to discuss the Isser of Hatmana and those things that you're allowed to be Matmin Atavshil and Erev Shabbos with, since those the items we're going to list are not Mosif Hevel. So it's only to us to do Hatmana with such items on Shabbos. So Tomin B'Ksus U'Beperos, using clothing or fruits like wheat or beans, Bekan Feyona, with feathers of a dove, Ubin Soris Shal Harashim, the little pieces of wood that a carpenter has, the wood chips that are left over from a carpenter after he does his work, Ubin Orishal Pishtan Daka, or little pieces of flax. All these things are not Mosif Hevel. Rabbi Yehuda Oser Bedaka, Matir Begasa. But Rabbi Yehuda says, no, if it's small pieces of flax, it's Aser, because that is Mosif Hevel. Only if it's larger pieces of flax is it not going to be Mosif Hevel, and therefore going to be Mutter. So once we talk about doing Hatmana with Kanfeyona, the Gemara brings a story relating to Kanfeyona, relating to a dove's wings, its feathers. So first it tells us a din as far as Hanachas Tfilin to introduce the story. Amr Abiyanai, Tfilin Tzrichin Guf Naki Ke'elisha Bal Kanafayim. In order for a person to wear Tfilin, he needs to maintain a clean body. He can't pass gas or anything like that, like the level of cleanliness that Elisha Bal Knafayim had. So Maihi, what exactly is that referring to? Who is this Elisha Bal Knafayim, and does that really mean that someone who's not a tzaddik, like whoever this Elisha Bal Knafayim is, that he can't wear tefillin if he's not a tzaddik at that level? So Abayi Amar Shalo Yafiach Ben. Abayi says, no, it just means that you can't be mafiach ben, that you're not allowed to pass gas wearing your tefillin, and that's something Elisha Bal Knafayim was very careful about. Rava Amar Shalo Yishan Ben. It means that you're not allowed to go to sleep wearing your tefillin, because you might come to pass gas or to become a balkeri. So even one step removed that, even if you're not actually having a bodily function, but you're just going to sleep and you're risking a bodily function, even that's aser to do in your tefillin. But why do we call this fellow Elisha Bal Knafayim? So the Gemara explains, that one time the Romans made a gzeira against the Jewish people that whoever puts on tefillin, they're going to crush his skull, because that's where that's where you put tefillin on the Rosh. And Elisha Bal Knafayim was unafraid. He put on his tefillin and he went out in public. Ra'ahu kastarechad, and a certain officer saw him. Ratz mipanav, so Elisha ran away not to get killed. Ve'ratz acharav, and the police officer chased him. Ve'kivin she'agia etzlo, once this kastar, not a police officer, a Roman official who was going to brutally murder him, once he reached him, once he caught up to him, netalin me'rosh v'achazan biyado. So Elisha Bal Knafayim quickly grabbed the tefillin off his head and held them in his hands. Amarlo, mazeh biyadecha. So the official said, what's that in your hands? Amarlo, so Elisha responded, kanfeyona. It's a dove in my hands. Pashat siyado v'nimtzu kanfeyona. And sure enough, he opens his hands, and it turns out to be a dove. Leficha koronoso, Elisha Bal Knafayim. That's how he got the nickname, Elisha Bal Knafayim. Umayshna kanfeyona, misharofos. Why is it that of all birds, for the miracle to happen with, that the miracle happened dafka with kanfeyona? So mishum di'im til knesses Yisrael liyona. Because the Jewish people are compared to a Yonah, and the mitzvahs that the Jewish people do are compared to the Kanfe Yonah. Shneimar, because the pasuk says in Tehillim, Kanfe Yonah nechba bakesef, Ma Yonah knafeh maginos aleha. Just like a Yonah, its wings protect its body, so too Af Yisrael mitzvahs maginos alehen. The Jewish people, their mitzvahs protect the Jewish people. So that's why he got the name Elisha Bal Knafayim, because of the Kanfe Yonah, and specifically a Yonah, because the Jewish people are compared to a Yonah. So now we go back to the Hatmana discussion. The Mishnah said that Nesoris Shal Harashin and Naoris Shal Pishtan Daka you're allowed to use for Hatmana on Erev Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda said not with Daka but with Gasa. So Ibailhu. Rabbi Yehuda Nesoris Shal Harashin Kai or Naoris Shal Pishtan Kai? Meaning the Tanakhama said two things that are Daka that you're allowed to use, wood chips and flax. Then Rabbi Yehuda said, no, not daka, only gasa. Was that going on the wood chips part or on the flax part? So Tashma says, well, we'll bring a raya. Detanya, Rabbi Yehuda omer na'orishal pishton daka, hareu kezevel. Shema mina, an'orishal pishton kai. Clearly in the Brisa, Rabbi Yehuda only argues on the flax part. And he says, that's where daka is going to be most of hevel. So Shema mina. So we see, in fact, that is the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, now we have a new Mishnah. The Mishnah discusses the din of Hatmana on Erev Shabbos, and we're going to discuss those items that you're allowed to be matmin with on Erev Shabbos, and whether they are muktzah or not. So, tomnin bashlachin. On Erev Shabbos, you're allowed to use skins that were taken off of an animal because they're not most of hevel. Umetaltlinosan, and you're allowed to be metaltl them on Shabbos, whether you use them for Hatmana or not, because they're simply not muktzah, since they are used as like cushions to sit on. They're used as mats to sit on. Begizei tzemer, and you're allowed to be tomein with gizei tzemer, with shearings of wool, because they're not most of hevel. They in metaltinosan, but they are muktza on Shabbos, because they're meant to be spun and woven and made into fabric, and you can't do that on Shabbos, obviously. Ketzaruosa, so how do you take your pot if what's being matmin it is something that's muktza? So notel sakisui vehin noflos. So what you do is you just lift up the cover from the pot, and then whatever is surrounding it will just fall away on its own. So the Mishnah explains, up until now, how to remove the cover of the pot, and that way the gizei tzemer will fall away. But now the Mishnah explains how to take the pot itself. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, kupa mata al tzid of an otel, that if it's in a kupa with gizei tzemer, so then you lean the kupa over to its side, and then you take the kedera out, and you don't have, but you're not allowed to take the kedera while the kupa is still upright. Shema yitol ve'inu yachal ha'achzir, because we're afraid you might take the kedera and the gizem are going to fall into the hole, and then you're not going to be able to put the pot back. That's why it needs to be tilted. The chamram notel machzir. The chamram say, no, you can take the kedera and put it back in its original spot. You don't have to worry that maybe the gizei tzemer are going to fall into the cavity that was created when you remove the pot from the from among the gizei tzemer. So the Mishnah said that shlachin are mutter betiltel, that the animal skins are not muktza. So the Gemara is going to just discuss what type of animal skins are we talking about. Yosef Rabbi Yonasan ben Achinai, Rabbi Yonasan ben Elazar, V'Yosef Rabbi Chanina bar Chama Gabayhu. So these three Amoraim were sitting together, V'Kami Bailhu, and they weren't sure, Rabbi Yonasan ben Achinai and Rabbi Yonasan ben Elazar were not sure, Shlachin shel bal habayis tanan? When the Mishnah says that you're allowed to be metaltal shlachin, are we talking about shlachin of a person who's not involved in selling them, and because they're not meant to be sold, he's willing to use them even if they're a little bit dirty, and that's why they're considered to be not muktzah, because he might actually use them. Aval shaluman, but if it's a skin that belongs to someone who makes a living by selling these things, kivan dekapar alayu, since he's going to be very makbir on them, that they shouldn't get dirty, so they're not omid the yeshiva, and therefore they're muktzah, ulo metaltel lahu, and therefore he would not be allowed to be metaltel them. Odilma shaluman tanan v'kolshkin shabal abayis. Or maybe when the Mishnah says that the skins are not muktzah, means even if a guy is selling these skins, they're not muktzah, and kal v'chomer, someone who's not selling these skins, they would not be muktzah. So Amar Rav Yonasan ben Elazar, mistaver shel bal habayis tanan, aval shaluman kapet alayhu. It's most mistaver that it's only if it belongs to a private person, not someone who runs a business of selling skins, but if it was someone who runs a business, then he would be makbid about it, and it would be muktzah. So Amar Rabbi Chanina bar Chamas, Rabbi Chanina bar Chamas says, no, that's incorrect, that even shaluman is going to be mutter, because my father was someone who was a tanner of skins, and he used to always use them for personal use. He would sit on them, and apparently they weren't so makbid. He wasn't so makbid about it. So if he wasn't so makbid about it, I assume other tanners were not so makbid about it either. And therefore, it's not going to be considered muktza, because even a guy who sells it might still want to use it for his own personal use on Shabbos. So the Gemara asks on Rabbi Chanina bar Chama, that an uman's not makbid, really? Meisvei, so they asked on him, it says in a braisa, Nisarin shal balabayis, if you have boards of wood that belong to a regular person who doesn't sell them, it's not mukta, because the person would not be makbid to use them for his own personal use on Shabbos, v'shel uman, but if it belongs to an uman, ain metaltan osam, they are mukta, v'im chishev lase saleh in pasla orchin, but if you have a machshava to use it for bread, for guests, or for any other use, bein kach metaltan, then it's not going to be mukta. But you see from this brisa that an uman is makbid on that which he does his chayru with, because it's mukta. So it's Kasha and Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama who said that the shlach and shaluman are not mukta. Answers Gemara, shiny nesarim de kapad alayu. Nesarim are different than shlachin. An uman is makbid on the nesarim because they might get ruined and therefore they're mukta, but it's not the derech to be makbid on shlachin. So the Gemara tries to bring a raya from Brisa that you're allowed to be metaltel oros of an uman. Tashma, says the Gemara, I'll bring a raya from a Brisa. The Brisa says, oros bein avudin bein she'en avudin mutal tatal on Shabbos. If you have skins, whether they are tanned or not tanned, you're allowed to be metal to them on Shabbos because it's not normal to be makbid on them even when they are tanned. V'lo amru avudin elinin tuma bilvad. The whole distinction we have between tanned and non-tanned skins is only as far as the halachos of tuma are concerned, that the or is not makabel tuma until it is tanned. So my love, loshna shel balabais, loshna shel uman, isn't the brisa telling us that it doesn't make a difference whether it belongs to a balabais or an uman, and the brisa is telling us that both of them are mutter betiltul, neither of them are muktza, even if they're mu'ubad, says Gemara, lo shel balabais. No, it could be that the brisa is only talking about shel balabais, but not shel uman. Says Gemara, avol shel uman mai, then what would the halacha be if it belongs to an uman, that ain't metaltul, and that you would not be able to be metaltul, it would be muktza. Ihachi, but if that were the case, hadetani, v'lom ravudin elin in tumah b'lvad, that the only difference whether it's avud or not is as far as tumah is concerned. If the brisa is telling us the chilik between oros that are tanned and those that are not tanned, the brisa should not have said that the only chilik is in the world of tumah. Liflog v'lisni b'dida, we could have made the chilik outside of the world of tumah, just within the world of mukta itself, within the same topic that we were in the middle of discussing. That b'amed v'armam mishal balabayis, mishal balabayis, al b'shal uman lo, and we could have made the distinction that what are we talking about? Only b'shal balabayis, avul b'shal uman, you're not allowed to be metaltel, and we didn't have to bring in the whole discussion of tumah. So answers the Gemara, the brisa holds that you can't be metaltel oros mu'ubadim that belong to an uman, and nevertheless, it didn't say the chilik between oros mu'ubadim and she'en mu'ubadim in that context, because kula b'balabayis kamayri, we're assuming that the entire brisa is talking about the din of oros of balabayis, and therefore, when the Gemara explains the chilik between oros mu'ubadim and she'en mu'ubadim, it dafka has to get into the world of tumah and tahara, because we'd like to keep the brisa to be consistently talking about shel balabayis. So Gemara brings machlokas tonaim, whether oros shel uman are mutter betiltul. So the Gemara says the machlokas of Yonos ben Elazar and Chanin bar Chama, whether oros shel uman are mutter betiltul on Shabbos, is ketanai, is actually a machlokas tanaim. Oros shel balabayis metaltul nosan, v'shel uman ein metaltul nosan. Rabbi Yossi Omer, echadzeh v'echadzeh metaltul nosan. So you see that it's a machlokas whether oros shel uman can be are muktzah on Shabbos or not muktzah on Shabbos. Okay, we'll stop there, and Bez Hashem, next time we'll pick up at the two dots on Mem Tes Amid Beis.